If I asked you right now how important the second toe is on each of your foot, what would you tell me? Is it expendable? Would you sell it? I don't really think we think of a lot of our body parts as being expendable. As a matter of fact, a few years ago when I was working at UPS, I was unloading a truck and I had a fire extinguisher fall on my toe, and it was just happened to be on the day when I didn't have my steel-toed boots on. And so that was 2005. 13 years later, I have three kids, and guess what they like to step on? My second toe. That's right. I realized how important even something like that is in your body. And it got me thinking about how we view membership in the Lord's body. What do we think a member of a local church is? How do we view that? Did you know that if your second toe extends further than your first toe, you would possess a natural advantage in skiing, sprinting, and other sports? Now I know I have an excuse, and a lot of us do. So I want to talk tonight about maybe rethinking the way we see church membership. The way we see church membership, to me, determines if we participate. It determines our value in the local church. I think it means everything. And so would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wanted to say thank you once again for your hospitality, for everyone being here tonight, and how much we've enjoyed being with you. It's been like coming home again. I wanted to say a special thank you to our college students. We have had several on campus the last couple of days. I appreciated you and your encouragement. And also to those who have had us in your homes and fed us and who continue to have us in your home. Bless your heart. So I guess the best place to start is to talk about what a member of a local church is. But I'm doing this to answer another crucial question. So I asked some people today, when you become a child of God and you are baptized into Jesus Christ and God adds us to his church, Acts 2:47, how many people think automatically about being part of a local body of Christ? I'm not sure how many people do. Sometimes when people do, they come to a congregation and they ask this question, what is my part? What am I supposed to be doing? And I know a lot of folks get discouraged in local churches because they come and they say, well, there's nothing for me to do, right? But hopefully our understanding of what a body is, a local church is, will help to answer that question. So the first thing I want to ask tonight is, what is a member of a local church? And here's just a reminder, we're not talking about a building, which, by the way, church was never used that way in the Bible, right? Church is always talking about a group of people. We're talking about a group of people in a local location that are gathering together as Christians to worship and work together. There are many examples of that in Scripture. So what is it? Well, let me try to get rid of our first misconception about what it means to be a member of a local church. Number one, it's not like joining a gym. What I mean when I say that is, so we pay our money, we go, and they have everything ready for us to do everything that we know we should do, but a lot of times we don't. But seriously, when you join a gym or a country club or a sewing club or whatever, you pay money so that you can have everything that you want, and you kind of expect to be served. I mean, am I right? Like if you go to your gym and the treadmills aren't working or the lights aren't on or the door's locked, you're like, well, what about the money I paid? Aren't things supposed to be the way I want them to be? Being a part of a local church isn't about what I get, it's about what I give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, notice the way Paul describes a local church or a body. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It's not like I pay money and I get something. I'm part of something. I'm part of something special. And Jesus, according to this verse, is part of that body. He's the head of that body. And he died so I could be part of his body. And then so I could be part of a local church, a local body of Christians. It's something much more special than just something like we join up in. And so, misconception number two. Some folks think a church is like a body. Do you know Paul says the church is a body? Now, what does that mean? How does that apply to our lives and to our service to God? If you're in 1 Corinthians still, look in chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the universal church, all saved believers across the world, right? Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Galatians 3:29 would tell us what that's all about, that we all have the promise to have not just the Spirit with us, but the teaching of the Holy Spirit with us, and we're all part of that. So that means that there's something really special about us. We all are so closely united that we are literally a body. So what does that mean? What does a member mean? How many times in our culture today do we think of the word member as a body part? Not much, right? But that's the way the Bible describes a part of a local church. Every person in a local church is a member. It's a body part. And when you look at that word, it carries that connotation because of there's a lot of reasons. But let me ask you a question. How tragic would it be if tonight I was on my way home from our study and I had a wreck and they had to amputate my arm? It'd be severely tragic. It would be terrible. And I look at that and I think, okay, so a lot of times folks are separated from the body that they're supposed to be a part of, and it's almost like it's normal. Was it ever that way? And thinking about what a member is, go to verse 26, if you would, with me, please. Verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. I can say with 100% confidence, when my 4-year-old stepped on my second toe, every part of me suffered. Every part of me. In a church, that's how it's supposed to be. Verse 26, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So if you get an award, you don't take your ear off and go walk up to the stage and receive the reward. I mean, I know this sounds so silly and almost ridiculous, but isn't that what Paul's trying to say here? Like, we're all part of one physical body. And we're not separated from one another. And so, you know what I think the implication of this passage is? I think the implication is we really, really, really need to care about each other. Like, if I'm in a gym, I don't really have a lot of conviction to care about people in my gym, right? But I've got something much more at stake here. I'm family. I'm part of the same body. How can you not care about your own body, right? And so that's what a member of a local church is. I am one part of a body. And then I am a unique part of a body with Jesus as my head. I think that's why he uses this illustration, because think about all of our unique body parts that serve all these different functions and how God has wove us into this masterpiece called a human being. It's the same way with the church. God has wove us into this body together to work. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read verses 14 through 20. And maybe make a couple of points here. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Once again, a very ridiculously rhetorical question, right? Keep going with me, though. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The answer? No. Of course it's part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one in them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Looking at this, like, apart from the context, I think it makes a lot of sense. But there were people in the local church at Corinth who had certain spiritual gifts, and I believe those people kind of felt like they were the only body part that was necessary. They kind of felt like they were everything, right? To the exclusion of some people. Sometimes, do you think people feel kind of excluded in local churches? Do you feel kind of like they don't feel like they belong or they have a place or they don't have anything to contribute? And maybe you're there right now. Do you see what Paul is saying? It's absolutely impossible to think that way. And not to make light of it, but does my ear ever feel excluded from my body? I mean, I suppose if I was going out in the cold and I came into the warm and I shut every part of my body off from the cold except my ear. My ear is like, please let me in, you know? Well, that's silly. We have to understand as members of the local body, we are all part of it. We can't isolate ourselves. Everybody has something. And no one person has everything. Everybody has something. And not one person has everything. I hope we understand that, because that really is the emphasis of Paul saying that's a member of a local church. Okay, so then question number two. What does a member of a local church do, right? What does a member of a gym do? Pays $100, goes and works out twice in January and comes back the next year, right? Hopefully not. What does a member of a golf club do? Hopefully gets his money worth, right? What does a person who joins any kind of club do? They participate, they're active. So what does a member of a local church do? Number one, they commit themselves, like most people do when they join something, but they commit themselves to something different. They commit themselves to God's people in the area that they're in by joining ourselves to them. Okay? Imagine yourself having a body part amputated, but then being able to receive another. That's not something you're going to let go of, right? You're not just going to one day say, okay, well, I'm not really happy with my arm, let's get rid of it. It's together, it's firm. So look in Acts chapter 9, what we see a local, what we're doing as a member of a local church. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. You've probably read this scripture before, but maybe we can think of it just a little differently tonight. All right. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. I think a lot of us might look at that verse and say, well, what do you mean by join? You know what Greek word this is? In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, you know what word Jesus uses to describe the marriage relationship? What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This word carries the idea of intimate and close fellowship. Luke chapter 15 and verse 15, let's look at another example of how that word is used in the scriptures. Luke 15 and verse 15. What does it mean when I come here and I join myself to this group? Whether you express it to the elders, whether you come forward one Sunday, whether you write a note, when you express membership, or the desire to be a member here, what are you committing to? Luke 15:15. What did it say about the prodigal son? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. Why? Because he had nothing. He had nothing. So he joined himself to the point to where he had something. By ourselves, we don't have anything. If we're all alone in this world, but with a body of Christ locally. We're part of them. We are part of the body. In Acts chapter 18, if you'll flip over a few pages in verse 27, that's what people do. You know, when you move from location to location as a Christian, that's the effort that you make to join yourself to a local group of Christians and not be some people call it a free agent or a floater or something like that. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. What does that passage mean? Well, they offered fellowship to him. They received him, and they worked together to teach God's word, to do the work of a local church. A person who is a part of a local church also, number two, is concerned about the other parts of the body. I think we've seen this so far, right? But let's use another analogy that the Holy Spirit uses. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. Romans chapter 12. As you're turning to Romans chapter 12, I guess it would help to maybe tell you a perception I've had in my life. So when I was growing up and I was going to worship services on a fairly regular basis, my idea of a church was you go on Sunday, you go on Sunday night, you go on Wednesday night, and that's kind of it, right? You know, we knew the people, but there wasn't like a lot of interaction. There wasn't a lot of fellowship in the intermittent process. But when you read Romans 12, you've got a very different picture, don't you? Let's read together in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. You know what I see when I hear that? I see a united group. I see a group that does these type of things. So we know who our shut-ins are, right? We're mindful of the people who may not be at a physical service. We get the bulletin. We listen to announcements. We ask people about people we may not even know who's a shut-in. And we go see them. We're aware of the sick. You know, all the time when I'm sitting there after church, I'm talking to some of these older ladies, and I'm like, hey, can you tell me more about this? I didn't really hear that well. And of course, they give me the 10-minute version. And that's good. I need to be mindful. I need to not lag in diligence. We need to seek to show hospitality, to have people in our homes. And if we don't have homes, have people in a restaurant. If we don't want to do a restaurant, just be hospitable and kind. Make them feel part of, like they're part of your life. Chapter 12, verse 14. In a local church, there's going to be times when people harm you. It's like anything else in life. So how do we keep the peace? How do we make sure that we don't lose our body part? Because they're so important to us. Or am I right? We don't return evil for evil. We do our very best to reconcile with that person. We help other people find a place in the body because it's not just about me. It's about everybody. I'm concerned about people. And then we look at the local church and we say, what does God want us to be doing? And we do everything we can to make it happen the best we can, right? Okay, so what does a local church do? I was talking to my elders recently about this, and they were talking about how a local church is so much about accountability. When you look at God's plan for the church, you have shepherds. And if anybody knows anything about sheep, I didn't know anything about sheep until I heard some lessons on this recently. Sheep are made to follow a shepherd. They are not good on their own. They are one of literally
the dumbest animals in the world. I'm trying to say that the right way. If they turn over, they'll probably die because they don't know how to flip back over on their back. Now, you know that's not a shot at Christians, right? We're not described by God as sheep because we're dumb, because we're ignorant. It's because we need God that much. We need to rely on Him. We need to hear His voice. We need Him to lay in the door of the sheepfold to protect us, just like a sheep. In the same way, we need men who are overseeing us, who are shepherds of the flock, to help us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, if you'll flip there with me, please. Hebrews 13, 16 and 17. I was talking to a young couple who's been at Danville now for probably 9 months, and they haven't become a part of our group. And he asked me specifically, so what am I missing here? What am I not getting by just visiting and by being a regular part? And what the first thing I said, accountability, protection. You think of that sheep analogy, and we need help. We need protection. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Other than a parental relationship and a husband-wife relationship where we help each other spiritually, is there any other place in this life where we see that? No. Who else is going to watch out for your soul? Who else is going to make sure you get to heaven? And if these are the people who God has qualified by the Holy Spirit and has trusted with my soul, I'm going to work with them the best I can. And I'm going to affiliate with the church and worship with the church and be part of a church because that's what God says I need. That's what God says my children need. And if I'm part of a church who doesn't have elders, what are we going to do? We're going to do the best we can to grow into the kind of people that can be elders one day. And we're going to teach the truth on what an eldership is, and we're going to encourage it. We need accountability because we need people to come back. I think sometimes if we think about the church as a body and not so much as just a building or a group of people, that'll make us want to go after lost people more. So James chapter 5, if you'll flip over there, James chapter 5. There was a man who I met this summer who does a lot of woodwork, and he's really good at it. And he told me, though, that one, because I noticed he had a really big scar on one of his fingers, and he told me that one time he was doing some woodwork, and he accidentally cut one of his fingers off, right? What is the first thing you think he did? I know I'm asking a weird question because you don't usually get dismembered. But what's the first thing you think he did? He grabbed his finger and called 911. Because what was his hope? His hope was that he could regain it. His hope was that the whole body wouldn't die, of course, but that he would regain his finger. And they were able to save it. Well, isn't that the way God wants us to look at it? In James 5 and verse 19, whether you're in the college group or whether you're an adult or an older adult or a shepherd or whatever you are, he says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So where do we get that outside of the local church? That protection, that care, that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Right? We get it in the local church. Where do we get church discipline from? You know, I know a lot of times people say, why don't we place membership? Why are we part of a church? Well, because we want to do everything God has said we should do to keep you and your soul safe. And I've been a part of churches before where a person never placed membership, and the brethren got ready to discipline them, and what did they say? Well, you can't discipline me. I'm not a member here. I believe we see God's plan and why it works the way it does, or why it's so important. If we're not a member, if we're not joined to a local church, we don't think about the seriousness of financially contributing, about our worship, and that when the Lord's Supper is served, it requires us being together, about teaching and how it's not a professional activity, right? You probably have a way better shot at teaching one of your classmates than I do, or your coworker, or your daughter. It's something we do when we're part of a church because we want to grow. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry is something that's said in Ephesians 4. So what does a member of a local church do? It does these three things. Now, let me ask you one last question, and we'll be done for tonight. We've talked about what a member is, and we've talked about what they do, but here is the big question. How do I figure out what my job is? How do I figure out whether I'm supposed to be this or that, or an encourager or a teacher or whatever? Let me offer some caveats. You need to go looking for needs. Don't wait until somebody comes and talks to you. You need to be willing to accept responsibility because it's something God wants us to do. I think of Nehemiah chapter 2. What happened? Everybody knows the story, right? He saw the city needed to be rebuilt, and what did he do? He went, and he did. I think a lot of times in local churches, the extent to which we participate is the extent to which we see the need. And we can put on blinders, but there's always needs. We need to find some people who do the things that we want to do or should do. We need to try. And if we fail, try again. And if we fail, try again. I wish I could tell you how many people I tried to teach the gospel to before I finally was able to baptize somebody. And what if we'd stopped? How does God measure failure? I believe he measures failure by not perfection, but by effort. That's how we judge the lazy servant, Matthew 25. So with that being said, go to Romans chapter 12, and I want to give you something that I hope equips you tonight, because there is work in the kingdom that we all can do. Romans chapter 12. One of the big questions I'm asked as the preacher at Danville Road is, so what can I do? What am I supposed to be doing? Can you give me a job? Right? Sometimes it's ladies, sometimes it's men, sometimes it's young people, sometimes it's older people. If they get the hint or the smell of a job, what do? They pounce on it. They just want to know, right? And so maybe this isn't a perfect model, but I got Adam to hand out a trifold. Thank you, David, for printing it out today. It's a green and gray color, if you got it. If you don't, pick up one on your way out, because I want you to take this and look over it and put it in a place where you can use it. In Romans 12, what we see are some gifts that God has given. Some of them are miraculous, some of them are not. I think we all understand that these miraculous gifts that were put in place, according to 1 Corinthians 13, we no longer need because we have the completed word. And the completed word proves that we are from God. We don't have to have these things to confirm the word. But there are some things here that are not miraculous in nature, and I want to take a quick look at them as we finish. Number one, teaching. So if you look at this list, you probably see about 25 or 30 opportunities to teach. Teaching is one of those jobs that you can do as much as you want or as little as you want. You aren't going to be paid for it unless you're in the pulpit or a preacher or an elder sometimes. Not in earthly money. But it's something that everybody can do. So I want you to think about technology for a minute. I have my phone in my pocket, and I keep it in my hand most all the time. It's probably beside your bed. It's probably by your coffee table. And so how many of us would be willing to think about technology as our method of teaching? Some of you who do things like Instagram and Twitter. Oh, by the way, I saw a statistic recently. Did you know 35% of people use Instagram? You know what percentage of people age 18 to 25 use Instagram? It's about 90%. And everybody in here over the age of 35 is like, what's Instagram? You know? That's okay. It's fair. I understand. I didn't know what it was either. Are you willing to be the person here that is willing to do website work for people who are in Iowa but love to hear God's word taught and hear David Maxson's name, hear the Northwood Church's name, and they come to your website because you got involved with it? Are you willing to burn some CDs or some MP3s for people and hand them out to your friends, to your neighbors? There was a church up in Indiana that did this. And it was amazing how many visitors they started getting. And you know why? Because people were very interested in what they had to say, but it was just getting the message to them. Putting it in hands. If we're going to do that, we've got to burn some CDs, right? I don't know who does that around here. I bet you they'd like for you to take it off their hands. Putting some videos together for YouTube, putting together a screen display, all of the things that you probably take for granted. I know I used to. But also looking at physically teaching. This is an example of what we use at Danville, right? This isn't meant to be Northwood's example. But I thought maybe by looking at this, you could look at that and you could see, you know what? I could go over here to this place and I could start a Bible study here. I could teach a meetup group in my apartment complex. I could preach at one of the circuit congregations. Or ladies, I've always wanted to teach a women's Bible class, but I've never had one. I've always wanted to be a Priscilla to an Aquila, or Aquila to a Priscilla, ever how you see it. I've always wanted to co-teach. I've always wanted to teach non-Christian friends. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to do all these different types of teaching. Well, you can, and you should. I'm not just saying this because she's not here, but I think my wife is one of the best teachers, especially when we're together. Be willing to teach. It's a great gift, and many of you have it here tonight. Number two, exhortation. Maybe you think about Barnabas, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, but that's not what it's not just encouragement. It's using your mouth correctly, and that's hard. I want you to think about a person who is the type of person who, not just at worship services, but in normal life, is willing to talk to people and to go up to people and encourage them to take a flyer or be a part of a Bible study. A person who is willing to invite people to church using cards at the drive-thru window. You know, you can borrow my child for the day tomorrow and she'll hand some out for you. She don't care. And people take them too when they come from a four-year-old. You're the type of person that offers transportation to services. You're the type of person who will go with someone and invite people to church from their apartment complex. You're not afraid to exhort people. You're not afraid to offer encouragement, to be willing to mentor some of our young people here. And by the way, I have a stake in that now because I've got them now. You know, I want some people who will lead my children in righteous ways besides just me. You can be the type of people who support local gospel meetings and exhort brethren in places like Columbus and Birmingham when you have a Tuesday night and you actually don't have homework or you don't have an extra job and you're not getting home late. You attend all the services possible, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here. But here's especially a good one. You encourage song leaders and maybe, ladies, prepare a song service for them. Encourage those making announcements by preparing a bulletin for them or sharing news from the congregation. Share a scripture for people to read. There's just so many things we can do. Number three, contribution. There's no doubt that we can financially contribute, but what happens if you don't have much to contribute? There's a million ways to contribute. One of the ways is contribute to this building. Be willing to lock up, clean up, help other people. Bulletin boards, visitor cards, maintenance. I'm not so sure, but I think Jeff would let you do a few things. Don't you think so, Jeff? Participating in work days, resource room organization. Northwood has one of the best resource rooms ever. Take advantage of it. VBS decoration. Any way you can contribute to this work. And even if nobody ever sees it, God sees it. Because a lot of people do that around here. Acts of mercy. You know, it's not just having people at your home, but being a prayer warrior. There are a lot of people that need your prayers. There are a lot of people who need encouragement. When a person comes forward to repent, we all gather around them and love them, right? Because we're so excited for them. But then what next? What's the next move? What about lunch? What about after that? What about on Monday? What about on Tuesday? Or will we forget about those people? Maybe we could encourage them. Maybe we could take food to somebody who's sick or struggling. I know a lot of you ladies do that. There's usually a point person at every congregation. As you can tell from my list, ours is Judy. But every Judy wants a break sometimes too. Set up a Bible study for people who will be willing to teach Bible studies. If you set up a Bible study for David, I'm pretty sure he'll do it. I bet you Grant would. I bet you Jeff would. I bet you these college guys would. College ladies, I bet you would do it. Just set it up. Adam had a good idea today, right? You know, maybe not try to go to him and say, hey, have a study with a stranger. Just go to him and say, hey, come with me, right? That's a good idea. Go to places where people don't get the Bible and take the Bible to them. I believe that's some things we can do, and I hope and pray that this lesson has been helpful. So, do you see the body in a different way tonight? I hope and pray that you can see that there's always more room to do things, to help other people in the kingdom. And if we can help you to become part of the kingdom tonight, or to come back to God, to give your whole heart to Him, we want to help you do that now. If you need help in this area that we've talked about tonight, in being an active member, we want to help you do that too. Would you let us help you as we stand and as we sing?